إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session dealing with the topic A'azam al-du'a, du'a al-fatiha, yani the greatest supplication, the supplication contained in Surah al-Fatiha by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Today, well, let me first thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a place to have this lesson today. Indeed, it is a mercy from Allah and His favor that we should not take for granted. So, you know, may Allah make us of those who are grateful, who appreciate the favors that He gives to us, and then to utilize them in the way that's pleasing to Him. After that, I want to say that normally, my normal procedure is that we have questions from the previous session and the beginning of a session. I was hesitant to do that in the first two sessions, and we tried a little different way, but in any case, we're going to go back to my normal procedure, and I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but I'm just going to read some of the questions that we had from the previous session, question and study guide number 2, and whoever can attempt to answer any of them, we will appreciate it, and otherwise, inshallah, I will attempt to answer them. Now, so last week we gave out the question and study guide for lecture number 2. The first question was, mention a proof that the people's need for this dua is greater than their need for all other ad'iyah, for all other supplications. Anybody have any idea? What's the proof that the Shaykh mentioned? Now, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory, compulsory upon every Muslim to supplicate with this dua in every rak'ah of every prayer. This is a clear indication of the importance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on it, showing its importance over other supplications. Question number 2, since Allah has already guided us to Islam, what is meant by our asking Allah to guide us to the straight path? And if we have already been guided to the straight path, what is meant by this? Akil.
To keep us firm on the straight path.
To keep us firm upon the straight path. At-thabat. Now, and also he said, or, Yazid, ziyadatul hidayah, increase, or that he grant us an increase in guidance. Question number 3. Now we're summarizing the answers very, very quickly, just so that we can have time for the topic for today. Mention 3 qualities necessary for a person to be considered guided to the straight path. And the Shaykh mentioned 3 things that are necessary in order for a person to be considered as upon the straight path, having been guided to the straight path. First of them? Second of them? That Allah placed in the person?
Irada, a desire, intent.
To act upon that knowledge. And the third of them, he said, that's necessary in order for a person to be considered guided on the straight path is that qudra, to have the ability. That a person has knowledge and an intent, a desire in their heart to act upon that knowledge, and then the ability to follow up, to fulfill that intent. Question number 4. Mention 3 of the most important matters incumbent upon the muallim, the teacher, to bring to the attention of one who supplicates with the dua of Al-Fatiha during Salat. 3 things that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned that a teacher should bring to the attention of a person who's supplicating with this supplication in the Salat. That they should have humility, humble submission in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person is supplicating, they should be in a condition of humility, of humbleness before Allah, the one that they are begging for what they need. Second thing he said? Okay, that was the third one. Presence of heart. Yani attentiveness to what you are supplicating for. And the one in between he said? Okay, close. Like he said, yani that is related. Naam, hudur al-qalb. Yani, he said nasiha. He said meaning ikhlas. Yani that a person has ikhlas, sincerity in their supplication. Humbly standing before Allah with sincerity and attentiveness to what one is saying. The fifth question, explain the meaning of Allah's statement, I have divided the salat between me and my servants into two halves. What is meant here by dividing the salat? Naam. For Allah.
For Allah, and then the second part when you're asking to guide you from, not from the path of those who are
Naam.
For the servant.
The first part, in the hadith, Qudsi, of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, reported by Imam Muslim, the Prophet said that Allah said, I have divided the salat between myself and my servant into two halves. And then he began to mention the beginning statements, three statements of Surah Al-Fatiha, and he said that, yani, that these statements the worshipper is saying, yani, in praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the second part of the surah, the last part of the surah, three statements are for the servant himself, yani, supplicating for oneself. And in between is that which is shared between Allah and His servant, that is, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. What is important here is that in this statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says, I have divided the salat, He means by salat here, Surah Al-Fatiha. And as the brother began to explain, he's showing us how he has divided it up, yani, one half for Allah and one half for the servant of Allah. The last question, or for one reason why a person should pause in between the ayat of Al-Fatiha, in light of the meaning of the hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, collected by Imam Muslim. Yani, one reason why a person should pause in between the ayat of Al-Fatiha in light of that hadith, the hadith Qudsi. Naam.
To wait for the answer.
To wait for the answer. A person should pause because in that hadith Qudsi we came to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the worshipper. When you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah, He responds by saying, Hamidani Abdi, my worshipper has praised me. And when you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah responds. And when you say Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah responds. So one reason why a person should pause is to wait for the response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is responding to yani our words. Okay, so these are the questions that we made for the study guide, just to bring out some of the important points of what we discussed last week. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to go... we don't have page numbers on our Arabic text for this book, if anybody was following it. They are page numbers from the original book. But those page numbers are not in order. Yani they're not following because they're from different places. But in any case, the topic, if anybody's following us in Arabic, the topic is Mabameen Surah Al-Fatiha. Yani on the top of the page it says page 764 and this chapter 178 from the book of the Shaykh Abdul Razak. This topic is a topic of great importance. After we talked about the station, the status, the high status of this particular supplication in Surah Al-Fatiha, the Shaykh talks about a summary of some of the important meanings that are contained in the entire surah. So he summarizes these meanings, and whoever read the books of Tafsir will find that there are innumerable benefits that the scholars have mentioned concerning Surah Al-Fatiha. The Shaykh here has summarized some of the important ones, yani, in brief. So he begins by saying, تَقَدَّمَ بَيَانُ مُكَانِ الدُّعَاءِ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي اشْتَمَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ سُرَةُ الْفَاتِحَةِ وَجَمْعِهِ لِخَيْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ مَا غَفْلَتِ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ عَنْ مَعَانِيهِ الْعَظِيمَةِ وَدَلَالَتِهِ النَّافِيَةِ وَفَوَائِدِهِ الْجَلِيلَةِ وَفِيمَا يَلِي وَقْفَةَ مَعَ شَيْءٍ مِنْ مَضَامِينَ هَذِهِ سُورَةُ الْمُبَارَكَةِ. and we have preceded with a clarification of the high station or the status of this magnificent supplication, which is contained in Surah Al-Fatiha, and how it combines this supplication, how it combines between the good of this world and the good of the hereafter, along with the mention of the ghafla, yani the unmindfulness of many of the people concerning these magnificent meanings and these beneficial indications and these lofty yani benefits that came in Surah Al-Fatiha. Many people are unaware of these meanings. We discussed that last week. He said, and that which follows is a waqfa, yani a pause for reflection upon something, yani a little of what the meanings that are contained in this blessed surah. Okay, so the Shaykh, he actually summarizes some of the important points from Surah Al-Fatiha, first mentioning about 8 or 9 matters, important matters that are contained in Surah Al-Fatiha. These are things that every one of us, when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha every day, should be reflecting upon. We shouldn't be just reciting Surah Al-Fatiha because it's obligatory to recite. Rather, we should be reflecting upon the meanings that are indicated in the words of the surah. So the Shaykh here summarizes in about 8 or 9 points some of the important things that when we recite Al-Fatiha we should be reflecting upon. After that, he actually explains the surah ayah, yani one verse at a time, giving a brief, very, very summarized meaning of each ayah. And then in the end, he talks about the need of every person, the need of every person for this particular supplication in Surah Al-Fatiha, and why it is of such great importance. So the first thing he mentions here are some of the important meanings that are contained in Surah Al-Fatiha. He says, فَقَدْ اشْتَمَلَتْ هَذِهِ السُّورَ الْكَرِيمَةِ وَهِيَ سَبْعُ آيَاتٍ عَلَى حَمْدِ اللَّهِ وَتَمْجِيدِهِ وَثَنَاءَ عَلَيْهِ بِذِكْرِ أَسْمَائِهِ الْحُسْنَى الْمُسْتَلْزِمَةِ لِصِفَاتِهِ الْأُولَى. Indeed, this noble chapter of the Quran, which is composed of 7 ayat, 7 verses, 7 yani verses, from that which it contains is number 1. Alhamdulillah wa tamjidihi wa thana'a alayhi, yani the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the mention of his beautiful names, which of necessity point to his lofty characteristics. Yani the first thing that he mentions in this surah is that the mention, yani the praise of Allah and the glorification of Allah by the mentioning of his names, which point to, by necessity, some of his lofty characteristics. So some of the names that are mentioned in this surah, yani are, first and foremost, Allah, and then Ar-Rabb, and Ar-Rahman, and Ar-Rahim. These are names of Allah. Each one of them points to a characteristic that is directly derived from it. Yani, Al-Ilahiyya, or Uluhiyya, Ar-Rububiyya, Al-Mulk, Ar-Rahma. These are characteristics of Allah, yani his characteristic of divinity and the right to be worshipped. His characteristic of rububiyyah, the of lordship. His characteristic of ar-rahma, yani in ar-rahman rahim, ar-rahma, mercy. And his characteristic of mulk, yani sovereignty, yani from the name Malik, from Maliki Yawmiddin. So here the first point that he mentions is that it contains the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his exaltation and glorification by the mention of his beautiful names and those characteristics that are directly derived from them. The second thing he said, وَعَلَى ذِكْرِ الْمَعَادِ وَهُوَ يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. Yani the second thing that this surah mentions is the return, that is the day of judgment. This is mentioned where in Surah Al-Fatiha? Maliki يَوْمُ الدِّينِ, yani he is the Malik of the day of judgment, the day of resurrection. وَعَلَى, third thing, وَعَلَى إِرْشَادِ عِبَادِهِ إِلَى سُؤَالِهِ وَتَضَرُّعِ إِلَيْهِ وَتَبَرِّي مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ وَقُوَّتِهِمْ. And also contained here in this surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guiding his worshippers to ask of him and to humbly, submissively implore and beg of him and to openly declare their being free from having any power or any might or any strength to benefit themselves or to repulse any harm. And this is contained, yani the last part of this is contained in the saying, The second part of إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. يعني إياك نستعين is a declaration that we seek help from Allah alone. And why are we seeking help from Him? Because we have no power and no strength of our own. The fifth thing he mentions is وإلى إخلاص العباد له وتوحيده بالإلهية. يعني singling out Allah exclusively for all acts of worship. And the tawheed of Allah bil-ilahiyya. Yani singling out Allah exclusively for divinity. That He is the only divine being and He is the only one that is entitled to any type of worship. And then he mentions, وَتَنْزِيهِ أَيَكُونَ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ أَوْ نَذِيرٌ أَوْ مُمَاثِلٌ. And also declaring Allah to be free of having any partner or any equal or any one that is similar to Him. That Allah has no partner, He has no equal, nor is there anyone even similar or like Him. Then he says, وَإِلَىٰ سُعَالِهِمْ إِيَّهُ الْهِدَايَةِ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ وَهُوَ الدِّينِ الْقَوِيمِ. Also contained in this surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directing His servants, His worshippers, to ask Him alone, singly, to ask Him alone for guidance to the straight path. And that straight path, he said, is الدِّينِ Al-Qawim, yani the upright way of life. I don't know if I'm up to seven now. Yeah, tathbitihim alayhi hatta yuftiya bihim thalika ila jawazi as-sirat al-hissi yawm al-qiyamah. Al-mufdi bihim ila jannat al-na'im. Fi jiwar al-nabiyin wa-siddiqin wa-shuhada wa-salihin. The seventh thing he said is after asking Allah for guidance, in this surah also contains asking Him to make us firm, to be steadfast upon that straight way. And this is understood because when we say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, the meaning is not simply to guide us to the straight path. Yani as Muslims we have already been guided to the straight path, but rather to keep us firm, to give us a thabat, steadfastness and firmness upon that path until it leads us to passing over the Sirat al-Hissi. Yani Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, is the right guidance, the deen of Allah. But there's also another Sirat, yani in the next life, a physical Sirat that people will have to cross over, and those who don't make it will fall into the hellfire. So here the Shaykh is saying this is also indicated in these ayat, yani asking Allah for firmness and steadfastness so that it will enable us to pass over the physical bridge on Yawm al-Qiyamah that will lead us to the gardens of bliss. In the company of the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. Number 8 he said, وَاشْتَمَلَتْ عَلَى التَّرْغِيبِ فِي أَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. And this surah also contains an encouragement to doing righteous deeds. And that is in asking Allah to guide us to the path of those who are, yani those who He has favored, the prophets and the righteous and the truthful and the martyrs. These people, being on their path means doing the deeds that these people do, the righteous deeds that they do. So this is also contained in the surah, and this is so that, yani, we will be with those people who are known for doing righteous deeds on the day of resurrection. And the last point the Shaykh mentions is a tahdhir min masalik al-batil. Yani in this surah there is also a warning against traveling the paths of falsehood. And that is so that we will not be resurrected with those who are traveling the paths of falsehood. So that we will not be resurrected with them on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of standing, the day of resurrection. And they are al-maghdub alayhim wal-dhalin. Yani the people who are traveling the paths of falsehood are those who have earned Allah's anger and those who are upon misguidance who are astray. Naam. This is the introduction that the Shaykh mentions. These are some of the important meanings contained in Surah Al-Fatiha. We need to review these meanings carefully so that when we are reciting in our prayers Surah Al-Fatiha, that we reflect upon some of these lofty, beautiful meanings. After this, the Shaykh, he says, Allah has indeed taught His servants in this blessed surah how to supplicate to Him and how to ask Him and how to request from Him, so that we're not left alone trying to figure out how to ask Him for what we're in need of. Allah has taught us how to ask Him. All we have to do is follow it. Here the Shaykh begins to explain each verse one at a time, what are the essential summarized meanings containing them. You're saying, meaning the person who's praying reciting Al-Fatiha, you're saying standing, you're saying baini yaday as-surah, yani that which you say, yani in the beginning of this surah is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That is, the meaning of this is that I begin with the name of Allah. I begin with the name of Allah, Bismillah. And the ba in Bismillah is for isti'ana, that is seeking help, assistance and aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, Bismillah, I begin with the name of Allah, seeking help and assistance and aid from Him. Wallahu, yani the love al jalal Allah, this divine expression, majestic expression, Allah, huwa al-ma'lu, al-ma'bud, al-mustahiqu li-an yufrada wahdahu bil-ibadah. Yani the meaning of Allah, it is that the one who is divine, the one who is worshipped, the one who has the right to be singled out alone for every act of worship. This is the meaning of Allah, yani the divine one who is worshipped, who has the right, who is worthy and has the right of being singled out exclusively alone by himself for every act of worship. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, he said these are two names that point to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who possesses Ar-Rahma, Al-Wasi'a, Al-Azima, Allati wasi'at kulla shay'in, وَأَمَّتْ كُلَّ حَيِّنَ وَكَتَبَهَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الْمُتَّبِعِينَ لِأَنْبَائِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. Yani, these two names, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, are two of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that point to the fact that He is the one who possesses the magnificent and vast mercy which reaches everything in the creation and which encompasses every living being. And that rahmah which He has written, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed it to be for the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa. And He has decreed it to be for the people, the muttabi'een, those who follow His prophets and His messengers. Yani the people who observe taqwa, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions by following the prophets and the messengers. Alayhim salam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, he said Alhamd, the meaning of Alhamd, huwa al-thana'u ala Allah bi sifat al-kamal wa nu'ut al-jalal wa af'alihi al-da'ira bayn al-fadl wal-adl falahu alhamd al-kamil bi jami' al-wujuh. Yani in this expression, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the Shaykh says Alhamd, it means praising Allah through the mention of His characteristics of perfection and His descriptions of majesty and His actions which go between al-fadl and al-adl, yani His actions which are yani either from yani the things that He does out of His bounty and favor or the things that He does out of His justice. So indeed the perfect, complete and perfect praise belongs to Him in all of its aspects or from every angle, yani alhamd, all of it belongs to Allah Rabbil Alameen. As far as the expression Rabbil Alameen, he said Ar-Rab, the meaning of Ar-Rab, Al-Murabbi, Jamia Al-Alameen, Wahum Man Siwa Allah, Bi Khalqihi Lahum, Wa Adadihi Lahum, Al-Alat, Wa In'amihi Alayhim, Bin Ni'am Al-Azima. Yani the Rabb is the one who nourishes, who cultivates everything in the creation. And this alameen, the Shaykh says, it is everything that is other than Allah. Yani, everything other than Allah, yani, is His creation. And He cultivates them and nourishes them by having created for them and prepared for them His bounties and His favors, and then showering His favors upon them. Yani, His great, magnificent blessings. Maliki Yawmiddin. The Shaykh says, Al-Malik. Yani this is one of the names of Allah, Malik. Al-Malik huwa man ittasafa bi sifat al-mulk. Yani Al-Malik is the one who is described with the characteristic of mulk. Yani we know from the study of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat that every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contains within it a sifa, a characteristic that is derived directly from that name. So here the shaykh is saying this name, Al-Malik, the characteristic that comes from it is Al-Mulk, yani sovereignty. التي من آثارها أنه يأمر وينهى ويثيب ويعاقب ويتصرف بمماليكه بجميع أنواع التصرفات. يعني المالك is the one who is described with the characteristic of sovereignty. This sovereignty, from its effects or its manifestations, is that he, the Malik, is the one who commands, and he is the one who prohibits, and he is the one who rewards those who obey him, and he is the one who punishes the disobedient, and he is the one who does whatever he wills in the whole of his creation. He has every right to do whatever he wills. يعني يتصرف بجميع أنواع التصرفات. يعني everything that he wants to do, he has the right to do it freely. That is his right. Here he says, مالك يوم الدين. يعني this is the meaning of Malik. And he said, وَأَضَافَ الْمُلْكَ لِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or one of the meanings of Allah attaching to this name Malik, يوم الدين, the expression يوم الدين, one of the reasons for this is because يوم الدين هو يوم القيامة. It is the day of resurrection. Yani it is the day when people will be recompensed. All the people will be recompensed for their deeds, their good deeds and their evil deeds. Why is Allah called Maliki Yawm al-Din, the king or the master of the day of judgment? This is because on that day, يَظْهُرْ لِلْخَلْقْ تَمَامَ الظُّهُورِ كَمَالَ مُلْكِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ وَحِكْمَتِهِ. Because on that day, it will become perfectly clear to all of the creation Allah's perfect sovereignty, that He is the only one who controls, the only king, the only sovereign, and the perfection of His justice and the perfection of His hikmah. And it will become crystal clear on that day, in case people had doubts in this world that there were other kings. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be alone as the Malik. And also on that day, the control and the power and the ownership of anything in the creation will cease. Yani will desist, will end. Otherwise, فَهُوَ الْمَالِكُ لِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَغَيْرِهِ مِنَ الْأَيَامِ. Otherwise, Allah is the Malik of every day, not just the day of judgment, but He is the real master, the controller, the king of all of every day. Yani, in this world and in the next life. After this, the Shaykh says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Yani, you alone do we worship and you alone do we seek help, aid and support from. He said the meaning of this is that نَخُصُّكَ وَحْدَكَ بِالْعِبَادَةِ وَالْإِسْتِعَانَةِ, that we single out Allah exclusively, alone, for every act of worship and for isti'ana, seeking help from Him alone. And this is understood, and this is an Arabic yani language rule, لِأَنَّ تَقْدِيمَ الْمَأْمُورِ يُفِيدُ الْحَصَى. Yani, I don't know how to explain this yani easily, but the meaning is something like تقديم المعمول, yani advancing, bringing forward, ahead of its place, the ma'amul, yani the object of the verb or the object of the action. If it is brought ahead of the mention of the action, then this is an indication of حَصَى, yani limiting the action exclusively to that one. So, yani the meaning here, the Shaykh says, yani of this rule, yani when we say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we're mentioning Allah, you are the one that we worship. We're mentioning Him before we mention the action of worship. And this indicates that the action of worship is limited exclusively to Him alone. This is the meaning of Al-Hasr. The Shaykh said, it is like saying نَعْبُدُكَ وَلَا نَعْبُدُ غَيْرُكَ. Yani we worship you and we do not worship anyone other than you. نَسْتَعِينُ بِكَ وَلَا نَسْتَعِينُ بِغَيْرِكَ. It is like we are saying, we seek help from you, and we do not seek help from anyone other than you. And this is a beautiful meaning for this ayat, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. It's something for us to think about and to reflect upon, yani continuously, while we are in salat and outside of salat, because what is important is not making the statement that we worship Him alone and that we seek help from Him alone, but that we act upon this. What is important is not that we claim to worship Him alone, but that we actually do worship Him alone. And not that we claim that we seek help from Him alone, but that we actually make ourselves to be dependent upon Him alone and not upon anyone other than Him, except in ways that are permissible in Islam. Wal-ibadah, yani in this ayat, al-ibadah, and we worship You alone and we seek help from You alone. The Shaykh gives a definition of ibadah, which is yani one of the well-known statements from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He said, al-ibadah is ismun jami'un likulli ma yuhibbuhu Allah wa yardah min al-amal wal-aqwal al-zahira wal-batina. Yani that ibadah is a comprehensive name, noun, word for everything. Yani it includes everything that Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with. Yani this is a word that's comprehensive. It's not like ritual worship as people think, prayers and fasting alone. Rather, it includes everything that Allah loves and everything that Allah is pleased with, whether it is from actions or speech, whether it is something that is seen outwardly or inwardly. All of that is worship. So we know that from this definition that worship in Islam is very comprehensive. And we should be conscious of that and make sure that we offer worship only to Allah alone. Al-Isti'ana, he said, Isti'ana is al-i'timad ala Allah ta'ala. Yani putting our dependence upon Allah alone. Fi jalbi al-manafi, in order to yani achieve anything of benefit. Wa daf'i al-madar, and also to repulse anything that is harmful. Ma thiqati bihi fi tahsil dhalika, along with having trust in Him in order to achieve these things. Yani al-isti'ana that we're saying in this ayat, that we seek help from You alone, it means that we depend upon Allah to achieve any good and to repulse any harm, while having confidence, faith and trust in Him in order to achieve those things. Yani we have no doubt that when we call upon Allah that He will answer us. After this, the Shaykh says, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. يعني guide us upon the straight path. أي ضلنا وأرشدنا ووفقنا إلى سلوك الصراط المستقيم وهو الطريق الواضح الموصل إلى الله وإلى جنته وهو معرفة الحق والعمل به. يعني what is the meaning of this ayat? It means direct us, O Allah, direct us, guide us, and grant us success in being able to do that which is right, in traveling upon the straight path. And what is the straight path? The Shaykh says, it is a tariq al-wadih, a clear path, al-musil ila Allahi wa ila jannatihi, that leads one to Allah and to His Jannah. And what is this, yani sirat al-mustaqim, this clear path that leads to Allah and His Jannah? It is knowing the truth and acting upon it. What is it? It is knowing the truth and acting upon it. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, yani the path of those who Allah has granted His favors, His ni'am. That is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani the path of those whom You have given the favor of al-ilm, العلم النافع والعمل الصالح. Yani the specific favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon these people that He describes as the people who You have given Your favor, the path of those who have given Your favor to, meaning Allah has favored them with being upon this path. And that favor that He has given is العلم النافع, beneficial knowledge. Not any knowledge, but beneficial knowledge. والعمل الصالح, not any deeds, but righteous deeds. Beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds is the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed these people with, so that they will be on the straight path. And those people include the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. And what a beautiful yani company or companionship they are. After this, the Shaykh, he comes to the, near the end of the surah, غَيْرُ مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, yani the path of those whom You have granted Your favors, not the path of those who Your anger is upon, nor the path of those who are misguided or astray. Yani, not the path of those who Your anger is upon, meaning those who عرفوا الحق وتركوه ولم يعمل به. Yani, those who knew the truth, but they abandoned it and they didn't act upon it. These are the ones that Allah is angry with like the Yahud and whoever is similar to them, who knew the truth and abandoned it and didn't act upon it. And not the path of the Dhaleen. They are those who taraku al-haq ala jahl wa dhalal. And those are the people who left the truth, but why? Due to ignorance and due to misguidance. Because they didn't know. And this is like the Nasara, the Christians, and those who are similar to them, who don't know the truth. And so they follow some other way due to ignorance and due to misguidance. Finally, the Shaykh says, you're saying in this surah, or he's saying in this surah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. Yani, this is the clear dua, supplication, which is the portion or the share of the worshipper from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, this is what, yani, this is the point. Yani, this is what we are seeking from this. Yani, it is these words here, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And that is that a person submit humbly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are persistent and insistent in turning to Him and calling upon Him and asking Him after having praised Him, yani, and glorified Him and extolled Him, asking Him to grant them this magnificent request, which no one in this world or in the next life has been given anything better than it. Yani, being guided, al-hidayah. So when we accept the fact, the reality, that this asking of Allah for hidayah to the straight path, it is the most sublime or lofty of all requests. And achieving it is the most honorable of all gifts that Allah gives. Knowing that to be a fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught His worshippers how to ask Him for it. And He has commanded them to send ahead of it, yani before making this request, praise of Him and glorification of Him and exaltation of Him. And then after that, after praising and glorifying and extolling Him, He mentioned their ubudiyah, yani their worship of Him, and their tawheed, yani singling Him out alone for all of this. In the few moments that remain, this is the last part of what the Shaykh has mentioned here. He's quoted from Ibn Qayyim, from Al-Jawab Al-Kafi, rahimahullah, and he says, as far as the need of the worshipper for this magnificent supplication and being constant in supplicating with it, the need for this supplication and supplicating with it, yani al-muwadhaba, being constant in doing it. Fayaqulu Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, the abd, the worshipper, the slave, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not more in need of anything than this supplication. Nor is there anything that is more beneficial to him than this supplication. For indeed the straight path consists of or is composed of ulum, knowledge, wa iradat, yani intentions, wa amal wa turuq, yani actions and things that we have to leave, some of them being open or apparent, and some of them being yani inwardly or hidden. Yani this straight path includes knowledge, it includes having righteous intentions, and it includes doing certain things and leaving certain things, some of them openly and some of them not seen. And that the person travels upon this path, this straight path, all the time, every day, every minute of our life. And therefore, the tafasil of the Sirat al-Mustaqim, and here Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, mentions 8 matters, or you could say 7 of them, the first 2 of them related to knowledge, the second of them related to ability, the third of them related to will or intention, the fourth of them related to actions, and then ikhlas, doing them with sincerity, and then mutaba, doing them according to the sunnah, and finally al-thabat, remaining firm upon them. These 9 things Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, and he's showing the need for al-hidayah, for the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Every human being, to a greater or lesser extent, this is the condition of every human being. He said, there's nothing that the human being is more in need of than this, and there's nothing that is more beneficial to the human being than this. That is because this Sirat al-Mustaqim includes knowledge, it includes intentions, it includes things that we have to do or things that we leave out, openly or secretly, and that a person, yani everyone, will travel upon this path, yani all the time. So the details of the Sirat al-Mustaqim. قَدْ يَعْلَمُهَا الْعَبْدُ وَقَدْ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا. Yani, the details of Sirat al-Mustaqim, a person might know them, or a person might not know them. Yani, some people may know those details, and some people don't know them. So they will be in need of guidance. He said, number two, وَقَدْ يَكُونُ مَا لَا يَعْلَمُهُ أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا يَعْلَمُهُ. And it might be that what a person doesn't know of the details of this guidance, what he doesn't know might be more than what he does know. Yani, a person might have some guidance, but what they know of the guidance, yani, is little in comparison to how much they don't know. And that's the situation for most of us. Yani, that what we know or what we don't know is more than what we do know. The third thing he said, وَمَا يَعْلَمُهُ قَدْ يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَقَدْ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ. Yani, even that which we know, a person might be able to act upon it. And then again, a person might not be able, might not have the ability to act upon it. For whatever the reason might be. There are different reasons why a person might not have the ability to act upon it. Then he says, and this is the straight path, even if one of us is unable to do something from it. And even if we were unable or incapable, nonetheless, it is still the straight path. Then he says, number four, وَقَدْ يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَقَدْ وَمَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ قَدْ تُرِيدُهُ نَفْسُهُ وَقَدْ لَا تُرِيدُهُ. That which a person knows and is able to do, it might be that even though a person is able to do it, their nafs might want to do it, and then again, it might be that their nafs doesn't want to do it, either due to laziness or thinking that it's insignificant, or due to something else other than that, that might be a mania, that might prevent a person from actually acting upon what they know. Person may know, but they might not want to do it. Then he says, number five, وَمَا تُرِيدُهُ قَدْ يَفْعَلُهُ وَقَدْ لَا يَفْعَلُهُ. That which you know, and you are able to do, and you want to do, you might do it and you might not do it. And if there are some things that we know about, and we know that they are good, and we have the ability to do it, and we might even have a desire in our heart to do it, but we don't do it. Like, I think every one of us, we know about Qiyamul Layl. Yani, the prayer in the night. We know about it. We are able to get up and do it. We get up and go to the bathroom. We get up to have something to eat. We are able to get up. And we might have in our heart a desire to do it. But we might not do it, though. We still might not do it. Yani, we might do it sometimes. We might do it. Yani, we might not do it at all. So it might be that a person, yani, has the desire to do it, and the ability to do it, and the knowledge of it, they might do it, and they might not do it. Then he says, number six, وَمَا يَفَعَلُهُ قَدْ يَكُومُ فِيهِ بِشُرُوطِ الْإِخْلَاصِ وَقَدْ لَا يَكُومُ فِيهِ. And it is the case that a person who actually does that thing, which they know is good, they might do it fulfilling the conditions of sincerity, or they might do it having not fulfilled the conditions of sincerity. So even the person who got up and did it, but you have to do it with ikhlas. So a person needs guidance in all of these situations. He said, وَمَا يَكُومُ فِي بِشُرُوطِ الْإِخْلَاصِ قَدْ يَكُومُ فِي بِكَمَالِ الْمُتَابَعَ وَقَدْ لَا يَكُومُ. Even the person who does it and does it with sincerity might do it fulfilling the condition, the perfection of mutaba, following the Prophet ﷺ in doing so, doing it the way it's supposed to be done, or they might do it without having followed the Prophet ﷺ perfectly in doing so. Finally, he says, the last point, وَمَا يَكُومُ فِيهِ بِالْمُتَابَعَ قَدْ يَثْبُتُ عَلَيْهِ وَقَدْ يُصْرَفُ قَلْبُهُ عَنْهُ. That even that which a person does, and they do it with sincerity, and they do it perfectly following the Prophet ﷺ, they might remain firm upon that. Yani, continue doing it until they die. And then again, their heart might be turned away from it. A person might start getting up in the night for tahajjud. They might start fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. They might start reading the Quran every day for some time. And then their heart is turned away from it. How many times have we seen in our own lives that we started to do something good and then somehow we got distracted from it? May Allah grant us success in remaining upon the khayr. وَهَذَا كُلُّهُ وَاقِعٌ سَارٍ فِي الْخَلْقِ فَمُسْتَقِلٌ وَمُسْتَكْثِرٌ. So this, all of this is the reality which is applicable to every human being, except that to a lesser extent it might be the case for some people, and to a greater extent for others. But everybody is subject to these conditions. The Shaykh, he closes, after mentioning this statement from Ibn Qayyim, he says that Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, also mentioned something similar to this in another place, and after that mention of something similar to this, he said, by this, from what has been mentioned, the value, the worth of this magnificent dua becomes known. Yani from considering what has been mentioned here, the worth or the value of this supplication would become known. And likewise, shiddatul haja ilayhi would become known. The severe, dire need for this supplication would become known. Wa tawakkuf sa'adat al-dunya wal akhirah alayhi, and likewise, one's happiness, meaning one's success in this world and in the hereafter, is dependent upon this guidance that's contained in this supplication that Allah has commanded us with to supplicate with, yani, in every rak'ah of every prayer, in every day of our life. The Shaykh closes by saying, so whoever reflects upon his speech, rahimahullah, the speech of Ibn Qayyim, they will come to know, they will realize the need, the severe need of the worshipper or the worshippers for this dua, this hidayah, and the greatness of the necessity of them giving care to it. Yani, giving care to this supplication. Yani, this great, magnificent, blessed supplication. The Shaykh closes by saying, and we ask Allah al-Kareem to guide us to Him upon a straight path, and that He turn us away from slipping. Yani, that He cause us to avoid slipping and falling. Yani, make falling into error. Indeed, He is, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sami' al-Dua, Wahu Ahlu al-Raja, Wahu Hasbuna wa Ni'am al-Wakil. Indeed, He is the one who hears the supplication. And He is the one who is entitled to have hope in Him. And He is the one who is sufficient for us, and He is the best one to turn our affairs to. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.